Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing, available 24/7 at ianmasters.com. And joining us now is Ari Berman, a senior reporter at Mother Jones, covering voting rights and a reporting fellow at the Nation Institute. He's the author of Herding Donkeys, The Fight to Rebuild the Democratic Party and Reshape American Politics. And his latest book is Give Us the Ballot, The Modern Struggle for Voting Rights in America. And he has an article at Mother Jones, Rigged, How Voter Suppression Threw Wisconsin to Trump. Welcome to Background Briefing, Ari Berman.
Hey, Ian. Good to talk to you again.
Well, thank you, Ari. And your piece points out that Trump won Wisconsin by a little under 23,000 votes. And this was a state which ranked second in the nation in voter participation in 2008 and 2012, yet it saw its lowest turnout in 2016 since 2000, with half of the state's decline occurring in Milwaukee, where 41,000 fewer people voted than they did in 2016 and 2012. And, of course, Milwaukee has a very, very high percentage of, in fact, two-thirds of the state's African-Americans live in Milwaukee. And much of the work that you did was profiling people in Milwaukee who didn't vote, right?
Yes. So my story was about the impact of Wisconsin's voter ID law on the 2016 election. Wisconsin passed one of the strictest laws in the country that said you had to have a Wisconsin driver's license or ID to be able to vote. And a federal court found that 300,000 registered voters, which was 9% of the electorate, did not have these forms of ID when the law passed. And I found that throughout the 2016 election, there were huge problems, first with the implementation of the law, and then with the effect of the law. Basically, what happened is people showed up who had voted all their lives and were told they didn't pass the ballot. They did not have the right ID for one reason or another. And a much larger percentage of people just didn't show up at all because they knew their votes wouldn't count. And so there was a study by the University of Wisconsin that surveyed non-voters in Milwaukee and Madison, two of the most Democratic areas of the state, and they found that 1 in 10 non-voters cited the voter ID law as a reason why they didn't cast a ballot. So that was up to 23,000 voters in two counties that didn't vote because of this law. That was larger than Donald Trump's margin of victory in the state. If you extrapolate further, up to 45,000 people statewide, almost double Donald Trump's margin of victory. So this certainly contributed to Trump's win in Wisconsin. There's no doubt about it.
And the voter, one of the voters that you profiled, Andrea Anthony, 37-year-old African-American mother and grandmother, she had mislaid her driver's license and essentially was given 72 hours to get a new driver's license. She got a provisional ballot. She had to go to the DMV to get a new ID and then to the city clerk's office to confirm a vote within 72 hours of election day. And she had a job. And as I mentioned, she has kids and grandkids and simply couldn't get away from work and couldn't vote. And voting was incredibly important to her. She really did want to vote. She was alarmed by Trump.
Yeah, and the amazing thing about this is she was someone who, even though she lost her driver's license, she had a Wisconsin ID that was expired. She was registered to vote in Wisconsin. She had voted at her polling place in the primary, so the poll workers knew who she was. So she was qualified to vote. She was registered to vote, but she wasn't able to vote for the first time in her life, simply because she misplaced one piece of identification. And what was alarming to me is that she also said that her daughter and her nephew also didn't vote because they didn't have their IDs either. And so you have three people in one family alone that didn't vote because of this law. And, you know, we heard so much about a lack of enthusiasm for Hillary Clinton, but there were people that wanted to vote and were not able to. And I think that particular narrative needs a lot more attention because we hear all the time that people weren't motivated to vote, the Clinton campaign didn't campaign in Wisconsin, and those are all valid critiques. But the fact that people did want to vote, and in fact actually showed up and tried to vote and were unable to, is something that I think didn't get nearly enough attention. And this one woman, Andrea Anthony, told me that she felt like the right to vote was being stripped away from her. And if you look at the data in Milwaukee, turnout was down only slightly in white middle-class areas of the city, but it was down dramatically in more African-American, lower-income neighborhoods. And the head of elections in Milwaukee says that he believes that was in large part because of the voter ID law. And he believes that the voter ID law changed the election in the state of Wisconsin.
And again, I'm speaking with Ari Berman, who's a senior reporter at Mother Jones covering voting rights and a reporting fellow at the Nation Institute. He's the author of Herding Donkeys, The Fight to Rebuild the Democratic Party and Reshape American Politics. And his latest book is Give Us the Ballot, The Modern Struggle for Voting Rights in America. And he has an article at Mother Jones, Rigged, How Voter Suppression Threw Wisconsin to Trump. So, as you know, Ari, Donald Trump is, in spite of some of the problems he has getting stuff through the Congress and his own mercurial and somewhat bizarre behavior, he's not getting a lot accomplished, but he's getting an awful lot accomplished in terms of filling the judiciary. And he has an unusually large number of vacancies there in federal courts, which he's filling at great speed with the help of the Federal Society. But he is putting in a lot of very reactionary judges. In fact, they just appointed or nominated a judge who has tremendous hostility to voting rights and is a great champion of voter suppression. So let's walk through the legal history of how Governor Walker of Wisconsin was able to get this law, because it was challenged initially, wasn't it?
Yes. And you remember, at the same time that Scott Walker was passing a very controversial law to dismantle protections for unions and collective bargaining for unions, they were also passing the voter ID law at the same time, which legislators in the state said they were passing, in their words, because of the neighborhoods around Milwaukee and college campuses across the state, with the basically implicitly saying that they were trying to disenfranchise African-American and student voters at the same time that they were trying to demobilize unions who were the key backers of the Democratic Party in Wisconsin. So the law was blocked because the federal judge found that there were 300,000 registered voters that didn't have strict forms of ID, that African-Americans were twice as likely as whites not to have them, and that there wasn't a single case of voter impersonation in Wisconsin that the law would have prevented. But unfortunately, in 2014, it was reinstated by a panel of Republican-appointed judges, a very conservative panel of judges. And that just goes to show you that you can't rely on the courts to block these laws, because there are very, very conservative judges on there who, because of ideology, not facts, are putting these things in place. And now Trump is absolutely reshaping the judiciary so that more of these laws are going to be approved in the future, which makes it even more important to organize against them at the local level and also try to elect different people who will pass these kind of measures in the future.
Well, didn't one of the Republican representatives in the state of Wisconsin basically let the cat out of the bag, Representative Glenn Grothman, who basically said that Wisconsin had gone for Barack Obama by 7 points in 2012. I think Hillary Clinton's about the weakest candidate the Democrats have ever put up, he told local TV. And now we have a photo ID, and I think photo ID is going to make a little bit of a difference as well. Well, it maybe made a little bit of a difference, but it made enough of a difference, right?
Yeah, I mean, the reason why Wisconsin Republicans were so determined to defend this law in court is because they knew that it would make a big difference in close elections. They knew that Wisconsin had a history of very close elections. They were looking for any advantage they can get, and this was the same party, we should remember, that gerrymandered the maps to protect their own power, that tried to completely demobilize unions, who are the biggest backer of the Democratic Party. So the voter ID law and other changes by the Wisconsin legislature was just one of many attempts in the state to try to give a huge electoral advantage to the Republican Party.
And what can the Democrats do now? The evidence is the writing's on the wall. This voter suppression works. It's enabled through a stacked judiciary that's partisan. That happened in the state of Wisconsin, as you made clear, through Governor Scott Walker. Now it's happening at a national level with Donald Trump appointing reactionary judges to the federal courts. Could happen all the way across the state. We also have, on top of that, demographic changes, where more and more people are crowding into cities, where the blue state votes and the Democratic votes are being diluted, and the power goes to the rural counties. The Electoral College will come into play more and more. An estimate is in about 20, 30 years, 60% of the United States Senate will be voted in with 40% of the population. So we've seen this gap from the last election where Hillary Clinton won 3 million more in the popular vote. These are the trends in the future. So there's a bunch of alarming trends. Do you sense there's a wake-up call going on with the Democrats?
Well, I think there needs to be. I mean, we're getting in a situation where the Republican Party has become a majority party through minority rule, through voter suppression, through gerrymandering, through all of the institutional things that you mentioned that help them and hurt Democrats. I mean, there's kind of two things you can do about it. You can kind of give up your hands and say, nothing's going to change and my vote doesn't matter, which would be exactly what they want. Or you could say, this is going to make me more motivated to try to vote, more motivated to try to help other people to vote, more motivated not just to try to challenge these laws in court, which groups have been doing, but also try to organize against them and to make people who pass these laws pay more of a political price. And I think that's what needs to happen. And I think there also needs to be more of a focus on down ballot races, on state legislative races, on Secretary of State races, where a lot of these laws are being fought. Because while the Congress and the presidency is important, the fight over suppression is largely in the states, and that hasn't gotten nearly as much attention, particularly among Democratic voters.
Well, I've noticed on the political left that much of what the discussions about voting and voter suppression do reinforce despair. They're all about black box voting and conspiracies, and my sense is that at the end of the day, it feeds into that idea of despair that, oh, well, the game's rigged against you, there's no point in voting, which is, as you point out, is exactly what these voter suppressors want you to feel. I mean, what's your reading on the what's going on in terms of the debate on the political left?
Well, I hope that when people read my article and my writing, that's not what they take away from it. The reason why I've been writing so much about this is because I want people to recognize how much power their vote actually has. And the reason why people are trying to suppress votes is because they know that the vote has power. If anything, voter suppression is a recognition that your vote does matter, or else people wouldn't be going to such extraordinary lengths to try to prevent people from voting. And so I hope that it mobilizes people and it inspires them to get more involved and not demobilize them, because I think that's absolutely what the intention of these laws are.
Well, in case people haven't noticed, Donald Trump is president of the United States, and he's exercising enormous power and changing this country and its position and its role in the world. And even his own handlers can't handle him, and he gets his way, or gets most of his way, and does things that are completely even against the wishes of his closest aides, like the tearing up the Iran deal and killing Obamacare. So to my mind, the writing is so clear, it's so manifestly clear that elections have consequences, and we have a president who has enormous power.
Yes, that absolutely should be.
Well, thank you very much for joining us here today, Ari Berman.
Thank you so much, Ian. Bye.
Bye. And again, I've been speaking with Ari Berman, who's a senior reporter at Mother Jones, covering voting rights, and a reporting fellow at the Nation Institute. He's the author of Herding Donkeys, The Fight to Rebuild the Democratic Party and Reshape American Politics. And his latest book is Give Us the Ballot, The Modern Struggle for Voting Rights in America. And he also has an article at Mother Jones, Rigged, How Voter Suppression Threw Wisconsin to Trump. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program is available for podcasting at ianmasters.com. We can also contact me, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another Background Briefing. Bye for now.